All right, we're in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, and I believe we left off in the 18th verse last week. So I believe what we'll do is we'll read from the ninth chapter, 16th verse. I'll read all the way through the chapter, and then Lord willing, we'll start back into that 18th verse and see where the Holy Spirit takes us tonight. I'm learning. Sunday taught me a lot too, so I'm learning. All right, 16th verse. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, and that was Christ Jesus. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. And obviously Christ died. And at that moment, it was all in effect and it was completed. And again, that testator is one who leaves a will, and it has to be a valid will, and one who has made a will. And again, as we spoke about last week, this is your will. This is God's will in your life. This is the will that He left. Every single promise, precept, line upon line, by the grace of God, applies to His children. So wonderful. 18th verse, whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept or commandment to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. Isn't that wonderful what we have to look forward to? Hallelujah. Man, is our day coming. Praise God. 18th verse, here we go. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. The blood, it's so important. But you know what? It's left out today, isn't it? It's not talked about very much anymore. Many hymnals, I won't even go into the denominations, but I know many of you know, they removed all the songs about the blood. Without the blood, there is no remission of sin. Do you understand that where the righteousness that you will ever have in your life is from that blood? The grace of God is from the blood. Everything is from the blood. The glory. Every bit, every growth, every time that we have enlightenment is because of the blood that was shed for each one of us. May we never limit the greatness, the absolute necessity to see the blood. There was no atonement without it. There's no reconciliation without it. Christ died for your sins. And it's in that blood that we are cleansed, and again, that we have any righteousness whatsoever. Look at chapter 10, verse 19. Where it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. The whole plan, as we studied about the ark, and we studied about the cherubim, and as we studied about the mercy seat, all by the blood. All by the blood. The high calling in Christ Jesus by the blood. I hope we see that. That's the grace of God. That's the grace of God. The Lord's been leading me back to the scripture that we had talked about on Sunday. I am black but comely. As black as the tents of Kedar, yet as glorious as the curtains of Solomon. And as I was just thinking, and as the Lord had me meditating on that, you can see that it could go one way or the other there. It's wonderful. We recognize our unworthiness that we talked about. That's that black. But the comeliness that Christ has made us, we recognize that as well too. But if we get so caught up in just the blackness, our unworthiness, and we stay there, we never get to the curtains. We never become that. But at the same time, if we just recognize and see the curtain all the time, and we don't see our unworthiness every day and the thankfulness and the humility, we get puffed up, don't we? And you see how we could miss it both ways. And I was just thinking how the Lord was dealing with me about that. Again, by His blood, the humility that it is all in Christ. And that's, again, how, Lord willing, when He gets a hold of us like that, that's how He can take us on. For when Moses had spoken every precept, this is the 19th verse, to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. I would like you to turn over to Ephesians 2, 15 through 18. This is another version of what he just said here, and I think you'll see. Ephesians 2, 15 through 18. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Now, if you ever thought that you were still under the law, or if anybody thought that they could keep the law and still please God in any way, shape, or form, read the Word of God. How many times does it have to tell us He's abolished the law? You are free. You are free indeed. And when you recognize that freedom that you have in Christ Jesus and what He's done for you, and the liberty, and you live into the new creation if you're a child of God that is really in you, it fulfills Christ in you. And you become like Christ. You begin to fulfill the things and the way that Christ lived, which was a perfect life, believe it or not. You become more perfect in many ways. You'll see the evidence. You'll see the fruit of the Spirit in your life, won't you? It causes you to do things that otherwise you could never do. Become a person that you could never be. Forgive, love, patience, kindness, all those things. Isn't it amazing what we can become in Christ Jesus? Hallelujah. So wonderful. But He abolished that. For to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that He might reconcile both God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Do you see the enmity that was between God and me? There was enmity there. You understand that? And it's gone now because of Jesus Christ. He took it away. He reconciled. He abolished. He is the way. As I was speaking again to my dear friend Art, the way that the Lord had that conversation start, do you think He could have been the Messiah? Do you think Jesus could have been the Messiah? And he said, well, I'm 99% like you are. And I said, I know. I said, I just love you so. We're similar. Such a sweet man. I can't even tell you. But he said, that 1%, I just don't know. I just don't know if he really is the Messiah. And I asked him, I said, what doesn't point to him? And he knows the Word of God. And it was so precious today. He said, you know, to me, and I'm not magnifying myself. I hope you understand this. I'm talking about this man. And he said, go magnify the Lord like Peter and John. You're called to do that. This is that man talking to me. And I just thought, oh, Lord, what you've done. You know, we entertain angels. That's an angel in my life. That's given me that kind of word and that kind of message and that kind of encouragement. Now, by the grace of God, I don't want him to just be an angel. I want him to be a son of God. And that's a big 1% because it's the whole enchilada there. And so you just continue to pray for him. But that he might reconcile both God into one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus made the way. Hallelujah. In this 19th verse, Moses was a type of mediator. He was a wonderful man. But all he could do was bring the law. I thought how fitting it was. When he come off of that mount, what did he have in his hands? Did he have the blood? Did he have any of these things that he could bring? Nope. Only had the law, didn't he? All he could bring was judgment and death. He still needed the blood. Always was the blood, always will be the blood, to cleanse and to make us acceptable to God. And it was because of his precious son's wonderful life and his blessed death and that shedding of blood that made our atonement. Again, I think we mentioned it Sunday. I was kind of delirious on Sunday, so I can't really recall what was going on Sunday. But everybody wants God, don't they? Everybody talks about God. Even this man again today, or everybody talks about a God and this. And that's wonderful. But they miss it because there's only one way to God. And that's through His Son. I am the way. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that I am Lord. Aren't you thankful that you know that? And again, as we said, and I do recall this, thank you, Jesus, that you've caused me to be humble enough and to acknowledge that you're my Savior. See, we get past that, and then it's like, man, I just love you. Look what you've done for me. Look at who you are to me, and how magnificent Christ can be in our life at that time. Exodus 24:6, you might mark this, you might read this at another time. I encourage you to go back and search again about those types that were back in the Old Testament. It informs us that half of the blood, again, was on the altar or on that book. That's what that represents. Half of the blood was on the people. God was so pleased with the blood because it gave atonement for His people. Remember, God so loved that He gave His Son. The blood, the water, flowed from His side, as it said in this chapter. Actually, let's even go to John 19 and read that wonderful verse, or two verses, I should say. I think it's John 19, 34 and 35. And this is Jesus' death. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. Every jot and tittle of the will of God, of the Word of God, again, was to be fulfilled. Hallelujah. The water, as it talks about here, the water speaking of truth. And that applicator of scarlet wool, that represents the righteousness. And the hyssop is faith. And I thought how perfect that is. Truth, the truth, is our righteousness and faith, isn't it? What is this? This is the truth. Any righteousness that we will ever have is from the truth. The Word of God. I am the Word. And the faith. Where are you going to get faith? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That is so paramount in our life. That the water, again, and the righteousness, and the faith. And if you add that all up together, it becomes pure grace. It's unmerited favor. It's something that was so freely given to us by that wonderful sacrifice, our precious Lord Jesus. And again, only because He first loved us. Only because He first loved us. It wasn't anything that we merited, anything that we earned, or as one of my friends, as I told you, got into that, oh, aren't you so glad that you were predestinated? I said, get over yourself. Get out of that nonsense. And that's the devil's work. That's the devil's work. Some he chose and some he didn't. And as he said, I would have that all men be saved. He gave His Son for all men. All men. Praise God that He's done that for us. But that blood enjoins us, as it says here in that 20th verse. It enjoined us to God. It bonds us unto God. And it's a bond that can never be separated. Do you understand how precious that blood is? Again, as I was speaking with that man today. Well, let's talk about the Passover. I said, remember the first dinner I ate in your house? It was Passover. I got to experience Passover in a Jewish home. And you know what? It meant a lot to me. It did. It really meant a lot to me. And I told him, you know, I get to celebrate the Passover every day. It's not something that was just once a year like they're doing. Do you see how I'm saying that? They're going right back into it again and again and again. It's that ceremony. I'm free. I have the blood of Christ on my life every single day. And by that, I am bonded to God. That is my bond to Him. Not my goodness. Not my works. Not anything that I could do. I am bond to God forever because of His Son. How wonderful. Is that not what the Word of God says? Over and over and over, I first loved you. Praise His name. Thank you, Jesus. 21 and 22. Moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. The blood cleansed those in the Old Testament as well, too. I hope you see that. And I'm sure we do here. But don't think it was any other way. It was still by the blood. Nothing has changed. Reminds us again that not only the tabernacle, as it says there in the 21st verse, not just the tabernacle and the atonement was by the blood, but everything was by the blood. All worship again, all praise, all honor, all glory is because of the blood. And again, do you see, it's the grace of God. There is no other way. And how many times again have we in just these 9 chapters been reminded about the blood? About how we couldn't merit. How it tells us to cease from our works so then we can enter into rest. Just as God did again as He created the world. As He sat back in that seventh day and He looked back and He said, rested, and says, it is good. That's the rest He wants us to understand, is to look back at the cross, see what Christ did and said, man, that was good. Thank you, Jesus, that it's done for me. Now, when I rest in that, then I can grow. And I always, really, it hit me at that time. I was thinking because I was, you know, so infatuated with my little boys and growth and little kids and babies and all of that kind of thing. You know, the most time that they ever grow is when they're sleeping. Because that's when your body repairs and all of that kind of thing. When you're really at rest, that's when you grow. That's how it is with the Lord. When you'll just shut up and be still and know that He's God and sit in there and say, Lord, pour it all over me. And have that faith. Have the faith to step out. I was just talking to a brother here. The unadulterated faith. And I'm praying that for my life and for yours as well, too. That we hold back nothing. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. It's like, well, there's just this little part I'm going to just cling on to. This part of whatever it may be, it might be, and it is. Without, if apart from faith, it's sin. It truly is. But to where I'm going to handle something, or I'm going to keep this back just because I'm going to allow that flesh to have that. Because, or I can control it, or take care of it, but to truly step out in faith and to say, my life is yours, Jesus. That's what I want. That is really what I want. Every single bit of my life in His hands. That success, He can do something with that. I sense that pull in my life that He's going to complete that for me. He said that good work that He's begun in my life, He said He'll perform it. Yeah, amen. I believe that. You believe that for your life? Oh, hallelujah. It's so true. It is so true. But again, it's finished by faith and love and grace. All fleshly acts of goodness are but filthy rags. It's only by the blood. Now, verse 22 there where it says almost, those were exceptions of fire. And I'll give you these verses. You can go back and read them. Numbers 31, 23. And of water, which is Leviticus 22, 6 and 7. Note that these exceptions were not of a defiled conscience. They weren't an intentional sin in any way. But I love this part of it, really, because it'll even talk about external pollutions like creeping things. You know, even like little bug spiders or whatever it was. It just showed you could try. You could do whatever you wanted, but you still couldn't get it done. You still couldn't do it. There will always be something. I love those creeping things that will creep up in your life if you don't give it to God. Those little things, they amount to big things at certain times. They'll overwhelm you very quickly and pull you apart from God when it's not in faith. And this, again, signifying that there's no way to be clean but by the blood. That we can't do it. Again, it's summed up that there is no salvation possible. No salvation possible for any soul that rejects Christ's sacrifice, His blood. I remember speaking to my poor little nephew when he came out to visit and stay with us one time. His friend had passed away, and he was a good young man, fine guy, and all of this type of thing. And he was trying to tell me and to justify in his mind why he would still be in heaven. But he had never accepted Christ. And as gentle and as loving as I could finally, you know, say it with the Lord helping me, I just said, this is an insult to the Father. It's by his Son. And I said, you know that. So again, Bob. Verse 23. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. It was necessary that the heavenly things were purified with better sacrifices than bulls and goats. The bulls and goats, obviously, for the priest and his family, and for the people, was the goat. Heaven is far better than the patterns or types. The heavenly is a privilege of the gospel state that's begun in grace and perfected in glory, and again, all by Christ's blood. But I thought what was so interesting here and so wonderful, that heaven itself needed the blood. Read what it says there. Heaven itself needed the blood. Heaven is purified by Christ's blood. That's how amazing your Savior is. It's over everything. There wasn't anything that the blood was not applied to. It was over everything. All of those instruments in that tabernacle. Verse 24, Christ rose to secure our place. Oh, hallelujah. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And he is there in heaven right now to what? To aid in our perfection, to make intercession for us, to be our mediator, and so wonderful to prepare for our homecoming. Can you imagine that? He's preparing for your homecoming. It's not done yet. He's still preparing. When it's completed and done, he'll be here. And I know I can see him every moment. It'd be the only time God ever gets bothered. Can I go get him yet? Is it time? Is it time for me to come? And to take my... Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Oh, I want to see him. Don't you want to see him? Not that we're tired of seeing one another. I love to see you, but I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him. Thank you, Jesus. But I got to thinking about this, too, that he entered into heaven itself. That thief on the cross. Today you be with me in paradise? Well, he went to heaven. Might call it paradise, might call it a lot of things. Where Jesus is heaven. I sense heaven in me sometimes. I really do. As I really yield and get close to the Lord, I can sense that part of heaven that he's got inside of me. Because you know what? If you're a child of God, you're part of that eternal city. Hallelujah. He's got us right there now. Are we sons of God? But this is a superior place. And Christ is superior. After Christ's sacrifice, it's heaven. Not a temporal man-made tabernacle, but heaven. And it's all for us. Before God in intercession, our mediator, to present us blameless and to intercede for our growth. What a comfort. What a comfort that he's for me. That he's for me, and who can be against me? Nobody. 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 Even at work. It doesn't matter. Mm-mm. They may think that they're over you. They may think that they have control over you. But you know what? My Lord has them right there. And he's going to control them just as he needs to control them for my life. Because he said he'll perfect that which concerns you. Do you believe that? He'll perfect it. Now let him do it. Believe him. Step out in faith. Become that well-pleasing vessel to him that he fills and refills and fills and refills and overflowing. Faith. Oh, man, faith. Praise God. It's now. It's not someday. See, that's where people, even at that funeral, I remember this one man, he says, just to really know him someday. I want to know him today. I want to know him right now. And I can know him right now, and I'm knowing more every day. I'm not going to be looking for him in heaven. I'm going to know who he is. He's going to be standing there with open arms. He's going to embrace me. I'm going to see the Lamb slain. It's not going to be any better than that. Praise God. Verse 25. nor yet that he should offer himself often. He didn't need to do that. As the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. See, the Paul in this was anticipating the question that the Jews would ask him, because they were, some of them, I'm sure, were pretty smart alecky with him. But they would probably say that Christ should go into heaven every year, like Aaron went into that tabernacle every year. See, he's got to keep doing that. But see, he knew. And as we read again last week in Hebrews 6:6, what does it say there? If they shall fall away, to renew them again into repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. What do you think religious ceremony is today? Look at the ceremonies that they do. Where is that in chapter 10? The Lord had me looking at that. If somebody find that thing. Yeah, but I was thinking in chapter 10, Linda. No, I'm sure it was there. But you know, the Lord will get us there, Lord willing. But it was somewhere in chapter 10 that I was thinking. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. One offering, one time. And there is another verse that I was looking for in there that the Lord had quickened me with. Was it verse 11, honey? Yes, thank you. And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. What are they doing today? I don't need to mention what religion that is. It's the biggest one in the world. What are they doing every single day? All that smoke, all that ceremony, all of that. What does it say there? And every priest standeth daily ministering, offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Read the Word of God. But you know what they say, and I'm thankful I've never understood this. Well, it's appealing to my flesh because I love the ceremony. God hates the ceremony. He abolished the ceremony. The ceremony's done. It's completed. It's finished. And that's even us. When we think in our own self-righteousness, we don't have to have a church and a big chapel, you know, steeple and all that to go in with incense and all that to insult God. We can get right into our own self-righteousness and get in ceremony. And you know, we enter right back into that and right back into that and right back into that when we don't really see the grace of God. There is no way to grow but in grace. In grace. Think of that. But what does the world tell us? What does religion tell us? I love religion. It's so interesting to me. You know, people always ask if I was religious. I said, I guess I brush my teeth every day. Getting good about showering and things like that. But what does religion teach us? It's ceremony. Behavior patterns. Mind meditation. Psychology. Where has religion led us? It kills. Think about every religion when it gets organized. Catholicism. Oh, they never did. Oh, go read history. And you know what? It's coming. Muslims. It's a religion. It's just a religion. Look at how dreadful it is. How hateful it is. Because there's no love. I want God, but I don't want to have Jesus. Don't work. But we believe in Allah. No. You need Jesus. God. You don't serve the same God I do because you don't recognize His Son. It's in His Son. So simple. So wonderful. And know that there is one faith. There's not a bunch of faiths. Do you understand that? I hope it would hurt your heart. Not that we hate people. Understand that. We don't hate the people. We love the people. By the grace of God, you love everyone. There's souls out there. There's souls out there. He died for your soul. He died for their soul. To love like God loves. That's the love of God. But it's the spiritual wickedness. It's in high places. It's everywhere. It's principalities. It's all over the place. That's what I disdain. That gets people away from Christ. as we've talked about many times, and just down there, boy, you mentioned the name of Jesus in that the church that I was in down there at that funeral, and you could just see some of them tighten up. And then the Lord just had me say, it's a two-edged sword, isn't it? Beyond. I'm getting right down to the heart. Baby, we're going all the way right now. We're not sparing anything. Woo! You know, just zipping around. It was, and it's in love. See, I can't wield this thing right if it's not in love, can I? See? This is ever sharp. But I want to be a wielder of the Word of God. And when I wield it in love, then it's effectual. Then it's effectual. People can come at this and they'll come in mind, they'll come in judgment, they'll come in condemnation. It doesn't do anything. In love. In love. We got to get it going. I'm sorry. Here we go. But it's so important again that it was by the blood that we are perfected. Verse 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Christ was on that cross. He suffered and died once for all. Aaron, that wonderful priest, only could offer. In verse 25, he never suffered. Christ did both. He offered and he suffered. And he suffered to death. Hallelujah. He was the priest, the sacrifice. It was complete. And we need, it only happened once and it was finished. References are Romans 3:23. We're going to have to read that. It's such a wonderful verse. I'm not just going to give that to you. Go look up. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We were all without hope. But then Christ. And then we got to Hebrews 8:12 where it says, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more." Again, what does that ceremony do in religious ceremony that we know so well in this world? It brings up the sin. It magnifies the sin. We have to go in and confess the sin. He doesn't even know what you're talking about. Do you get it? He's scratching his head there and said, "What are you talking about? You're perfect." And I sit there and I say, "Oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." Oh, man. I've heard him insult him as the God of second chance. You don't know how many chances you've had in that. It's infinite with him. Praise God. And then in 10:17 again, it says, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." And we keep reading that. But the Lord wants that our banner over our lives, to know what freedom we're in. When we're in that freedom, then we can love, then we can thrive, then we can grow, then we can rest. Get rid of it and go on in Him. As far as the east is from the west. Romans 6:14. Look what it says there. "Know how free you are. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace." But under grace. And it says so clearly there, you're not under the law. Let's go over to Romans 5. I'll pick out some verses here to read for you. Verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Verse 8. "But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." There was nothing good in us. When He died, we were all dead in sin. Verse 10, "For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God." You were an absolute enemy of His until you took His Son. And you're reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more being reconciled. Much more beyond that, we shall be saved by His life. And then verse 11, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now received the atonement." You know what atonement means? It means reconciled. And it's also in the Greek where they get the word mercy seat. Can you imagine that? And what was all over that mercy seat? The blood. It's all over it. The judgment seat became the mercy seat. How wonderful. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I wish Mr. Schimmel was right here tonight. Okay. Verse 27. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time, without sin, unto salvation. This is the consequence of sin. We all will die, but for the rapture. But to believers, it's called sleep, isn't it? It's sleep. Lazarus, I always love that story. And I always love to remember how again, Jesus said, oh, he sleeps. Oh, he's just sleeping. Oh, he's sleeping. And they kept saying, oh, but he's dead. He's so dead. He's so dead, he's stinking. No, he's sleeping. He's just sleeping. Okay, dummy, he's dead. Whatever you want me to say, he's dead. Now let me show you something. Lazarus, come forth. He just called him like that, didn't he? In a moment. I think about how my mom would call me sometimes when I'd be sleeping. Come on, get up. Jesse. There I'd be. That's how you are with the Lord. Do you understand that? Just asleep in Christ, praise God. That's 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18. And we're going to read that in just a moment. Lord willing, we'll get there. But this is just a tent where my soul dwells, and it'll be shed, and then goes my soul to be present with the Lord. Now this death refers to the first death, and again, it's a mere sleep to the believer. It's until the rapture. But I want to note here, this is the beginning of the first of three appointments. And I'd like to, I think we have a few minutes here. We'll talk about these three appointments and wrap this ninth chapter up. The first appointment for man is once to die. And you escape death only through the acknowledgement of Christ's death on your behalf. As Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, didn't he? See, we look forward to that day. Doesn't mean we're going to do a header off a bridge or something like that. No, you look forward to the day that Jesus take you home. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. To be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Just like that thief, he was going to get absent from his body. And he acknowledged him on the cross, and just in that moment, you're going to be with me. That's all it took. How much more do we... And he told him it was paradise. It was a wonderful place that that man was going to be with the Lord. But how much more is in store for us? Faith. Reveal glory to glory to glory. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's coming. Revelation 26. Chapter 20, verse 6. Revelation. Let's go in here and read a little bit about this death. Lord, learn us something here. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We, by being children of the King, are the ones that are blessed and holy, and will have part in this first resurrection. This isn't talking about the rapture. You understand? This is the resurrection that God's children will take part in. That we are resurrected unto life. Everlasting life. That's what we will attain. But there will be a second death for those that don't know Him. They'll miss that life. The second death is for all unbelievers. And they'll partake in this, and it's forever. In contrast, all who believe in His Son... All who believe in His Son may only face the first death because they have eternal life. Secondly, man is appointed for judgment, it says there. But we can be safe of this judgment, which is also known as the Great White Throne of Judgment, when we accept Christ and our judgment falls upon Him. Staying in Revelation chapter 20, let's look at the 11th through the 15th verse, and I think this will kind of bring some of this together for those of you who haven't studied this very much. This little section about the death, the first death and the second death. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. See, God rid sin. Hallelujah. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Think about it. The dead are judged. Are you dead? You're forever alive. You have everlasting life. The dead are judged. And what are the dead judged by? Their works. What are you judged by? The blood of Jesus Christ. It's all over you if you're a child of God. Do you see this? There's no judgment for you. Your judgment right now is for the reward that Christ is going to give you. It's just like that prodigal son. I don't care how far away you've been from Him. If the Lord were to come tonight and you're a child of His, He's still got a reward for you. He does. I don't settle for that. I want the full kahuna. I want it all. I want every bit of it to glory in Him. And it's such a glory to joy in that and just love it right now. Isn't it wonderful? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. But those dead, the dead are judged out of those things that are written in that book. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Again, see how it's stressing the work and the work and the work. What does religion tell you? Work and work and work. What does the Word of God tell you? Grace and grace and grace. Do you see it? I don't want any of that muck on my life. Get rid of that. He does the work. The good work. That's the work of faith that just flows from our life when the love of God gets a hold of us. Thank you, Jesus. But all of this, death, hell, all of it's delivered up. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Okay. Now if you go over to the 8th verse of that 21st chapter, it says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters." And see, people would come at me with this verse. I always remember this one young man. He said, "Oh, look at this. See, if you do this kind of thing, even if you're a child of God, you're going to get thrown in there." And then I said, well, what about the liars? Have you ever lied? Bible said all men are liars. So does that mean just everybody's going to hell? No. No. By the blood of Christ, we're righteous, just as if we've never sinned. Justified, atonement. We're bonded, remember? Okay. First death, it's fine. It's appointed unto men once to die, but it's not a death. God just had to have the Lord say that to us so we kind of understood what He was talking about. I guess we were still stupid, weren't we? So we couldn't understand. It's appointed unto men once to sleep. And He said, well, I go to sleep every night. You see what I'm saying? See, he knew who he was dealing with. We're not really intelligent creatures if you think about it. Pretty weak and stupid. But that's why He did this. Do you see the difference here? I know most of you know this, but it's so precious to see. People come at you and all this kind of stuff, you know. But I remember I was just pointing that out. I was just a little guy. I said, and he was reading. I said, well, you're not a liar? The Lord just gave me that. I've lied before. God forbid, I don't want to lie. I don't want to do that. I want to provide things honest in the sight of all men because of Christ in me that wants to do that, all right? And they shall have their part in the lake which is burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now again, don't let people tell you that there's no mention of a hell and a lake of fire because God is so merciful and too nice. There's no God that would ever do that. It's all over and it's right here. And if you're any of that, fearful, unbelieving, abominable, have you ever been unbelieving? I have. I've done it, I think, today. You see where I'm going? That's how easy it is to be there. But how easy it is to be in the first resurrection? How easy it is to be in that? I accept you as my Lord and Savior, Jesus. That's how it was done. Finished. Completed. It was a bond that could never be separated. He's bonded us to Him. Do you see that it's eternal life that you have? Do you see that even in this 8th verse, what it read there, if you were any of that, you would be cast into hell and into the lake of fire. If you were any of that. We've all been part of that 8th verse. Is that correct? I hope so. There's been lightning out here tonight. I'm just kidding. Sorry. Lord knows He's got a lot to work with here, I'll tell you. But that's so true. Do you see? It's us. But do you see how evident and how it's just in your face with the Word of God? We see how man tries to mix it up and they say, oh, well, you got to work and you got to be good. And if you kill or if you kill yourself or they put all these different rules and regulations and all that. It's nowhere in the Word of God. We are bonded by the blood. It will never be a bond that can ever be separated. Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. The last one is it's appointed to believers to meet the Lord when He comes. It is. It's appointed to you. You're going to meet Him. Hallelujah. But I was thinking of that. The bride meets Him in the air. And let's read these last verses, and I pray it just thrills you all the way home. Let's go over here to, again, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll kind of get through these. One of a couple of the brothers had said to me, "Oh, appreciate how you don't try to rush things." So I hope you still appreciate that later tonight. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. I think the Lord wants us to finish this up this evening. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive..." Oh, hallelujah. And again, that's the same alive, the Greek word, which is the same for those four living creatures in Revelation 4:6. "And remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." Those are the ones that have died in Christ. They're just sleeping. You have loved ones that have went before you. Man, I'll tell you, if they knew the Lord, they're so alive, they're just sleeping. I know my daddy's just sleeping. Brother Hill, he's just sleeping. Ready to come get us. Like you said about Brother Copley. Now we're going to say, Brother Hill, is he going to appear before us too? Say, come on, let's go. We're ready to go. I got to show you something. I've been seeing this for quite a while. Oh my. It's so real, isn't it? Hallelujah. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air." But it's the alive that are meeting Him in the clouds. That's the same alive as the four living creatures, the four beasts that are seen there in Revelation 4:6. Oh, hallelujah. "To meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." 1 Thessalonians 5:1 through 8. Let's see what this is saying. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have not need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." See, people aren't looking for this. That thief comes in, he sneaks right in there and grabs it. "For when..." And that thief knows what he's looking for too. The Lord knows what he's looking for. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." We're not in darkness, "that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep." Now it's talking even about getting sleepy, about being a sleepy Christian, as do others. "But let us watch." There it is again. Watch. "Being ready, being sober, that they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." Do you realize what we're doing tonight? Is being more awake and more awake. And more awake. It's the faith and the love and the faith and the love. And if you don't think that's what's going on here tonight, you're nuts. It's here. It's here. It's here. And it's awakening us unto God and His soon coming Son. Last we'll read is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. I was in 1 Timothy. Okay. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Again, one faith. "Henceforth there is a laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them." All them. Oh, hallelujah. There's a them. "Also that love His appearing." We've been talking about that a lot. His wonderful appearing. Can you imagine? There's not going to be any more sin. It's going to end. All this that we have to deal with, it's going to be over. And it's just going to be Him. Peace, glory, rest. All of those things. Do you believe it's coming for you soon? You got a hope. We got a hope. And it's so real. It's so real. These things that we see, we understand, they're just a moment. The things that are unseen are forever. The things that our heart sees, that's forever. "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for you." For you. We know that we love Him because He first loved us. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, again for Your precious Word and how it builds us up and what hope it gives us, Lord. I thank you at this midweek time that we have a place to come and hear your word. How thankful. Don't let us ever take this for granted, Lord God. I'm just myself, everyone here, Lord, help us to just be quickened in humility to know what great love you have loved us with, that we would cry out to you and say, thank you, God, for calling us into this depth, into this truth, that one day we will be like him. May that be soon. In Jesus' name, amen.